All right, let's get started. Does everyone have a here, Ricky? Here you go. There's a page for you. Everyone have a page? Okay, let's get started. So there was a series of classes that we did right at the start of the pointing to you, Gavin, because you and your boys were the only ones that came. You came to a couple of them that we did right at the start of the pandemic. What was it, about 2.5 years ago? Shas survey. We never actually got to finish it, where we were going on a weekly basis. Remember we were doing that on a weekly basis, going Masechta to Masechta, giving a brief overview of the Masechta, like a taster, or a survey of the Masechta, then a taster, where we just picked one topic from the Masechta in Halacha to discuss it, and also one small topic at the end that's an Agadah from the Masechta. So two teasers from the Masechta to give us a taste of the Masechta, and then it never obviously is enough. You can't obviously cover a whole Masechta in one night, but it at least gives an appreciation for what the Masechta is about, and at least one or two topics a little bit more in depth. So I wanted to restart that series. It's been 2.5 years since we had done it, and I really enjoyed it at the time, and I thought that doing it again would be a good idea. We didn't even get to finish it. We only got up to Bubba Vassar. We got up to Bubba Vassar. Yeah, we got up to Bubba Vassar. So let's get started. So Masechta Brachos, we're going to do a small survey of Masechta Brachos. So let's just understand the structure of the Masechta. The structure of Masechta, Brachos, as the name connotes, is about blessings. It's really about prayer in general, and different aspects of prayer. The first third about of the Masechta, the first three prakim, deal with the laws of Kriyat Shema, the topics pertaining to Kriyat Shema, the blessings of Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema itself, when to say it, how to say it, all the laws pertaining to Kriyat Shema. The next two chapters after that, chapters 4 and 5, deal with, by and large, the laws of tefillah, of prayer, namely Shmona Esrei, is the main focus of chapters 4 and 5, the laws pertaining to that and ideas related to that. And then the next part of the Masechta are chapters 6 through 8. Chapter 6 through 8 deal with the laws of Birchos Tannin, blessings that we make on food, and different blessings we make on things that we enjoy, and also the laws pertaining to a Seuda, mostly in the 7th chapter, the laws pertaining to benching and a Zimun, and all of those laws of benching are all over there. And that also carries over into the 8th chapter. And then the 9th chapter deals with the laws of Birchos Shevach VaHodah, the laws of thanking God during different circumstances for different things, or blessings of praise of God and the like. So it's 9 chapters in total, and that's the basic breakdown of the Masechta. What I wanted to focus on tonight is one of the first topics that comes up in Masechta Brachos. It's not the same topic we did the last time we did this series. That we spoke about the Birchos Birchos Kriyat Shema, and the whole Shtickle Torah and the Rambam about somebody's unsure whether or not he said Kriyat Shema. So that was what we did last time. This time we wanted to do a different topic. It's a really enjoyable, very interesting topic related to both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. It's the connection between the two, and that is the concept of Smichas Geula L'Tefillah. This is a concept that comes up a number of times in the Masechta. It comes up on Daf Gimel, it comes up on Daf Dalet, it comes up on Daf Tes, it comes up on Yud Zayin, it comes up on Chaf Zayin, it comes up Daf Lamed, a number of different places in Masechta Brachos, is this concept of being Somech Gula Tefillah. What is Somech Gula Tefillah? Somech Gula Tefillah is like this, and we'll get back to the answer to the question I'm about to present later, but you ever been to Shacharis and you hear the Chazan when we're about to start Shmona Esrei? He says the last blessing of Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael Some say it quietly, and some say it out loud. The reason why someone would either say it quietly or out loud may depend on this concept of being somech gula tefillah, because there's a halacha that's presented by the Gemara that one needs to make sure that the blessing of Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael immediately goes into Shmona Esrei without any breaks. That our tefillah is directly connected and conjoined with the blessing of Goal Yisrael, recognizing God as the Redeemer. So are those that have, punchline is that it's, most people can say it's not the right thing to do. So most people, what they do is they're concerned about there being a break. They don't want anyone saying Amen. You shouldn't say Amen to the blessing Goal Yisrael. So that way you're going straight into your Shmona Esrei. So those that don't say the blessing out loud, which is not entirely correct to do it that way. It's better to say it out loud and just nobody responds Amen. But we'll get back to that later.
The Luach says against an explicit Gemara.
Well, we'll have to get back to it. Yeah. We'll have to get back to it. But
Shema also, before Shema.
Shema, we should have people said it broke about.
Not in Kabbai.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. There's a Chumra of the Mishnah Berurah. But in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you're supposed to, you say Amen to that bracha. Shulchan Aruch, he says you say Amen to the bracha that's before Shema. But this concept being somech gula tefillah, it comes up, as I mentioned, a number of times in the Masechta. I'll just read you one of the places it says it. The Gemara has it on Daf Dalet Amud Beis that it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezu ben Olam Haba. What is a ben Olam Haba? Someone who is deserving of the world to come. Zeh hasomech gula tefillah. Somebody that, no. That's somebody that makes this the joins together the blessing of Goal Yisrael, and it leads straight into their Shmona Esrei. There is though a Rambam. We're gonna get to the sheet in a minute. Today was a little bit of a crazy day, and I didn't have time to make full sheets, but we'll get to the ones I passed out in a minute. It's a copy from the stapler, but I'll read you this Rambam. This Rambam is a little bit difficult to understand, which again, the concept we're dealing with is that as soon as you make the blessing of Goal Yisrael, you need to go straight into your tefillah. And that's an obligation that tefillah and the blessing of Goal Yisrael are supposed to be conjoined. Says the Rambam the following. The Rambam writes, Amispalo, what we're going to present tonight is a Shtikl Torah that I heard a number of times from Shechter Shlita, from the stipler. We're going to see it inside the stipler's writing. But the Rambam writes the following. He says, Hamispalo, someone who is davening, tefila kodem zmano. Let's say somebody is davening too early. It's before the time that one is supposed to daven. Yatzadei chovaso. Technically speaking, they fulfill their obligation. So, for example, a person is davening, let's say, Mariv before tzeis, before sundown. Before nightfall. So you're davening Marv too early. So if someone does that, they fulfill their obligation. That if you davened Shachris before Nates, after Alos, technically speaking, you have to wait till after Nates, after sunrise to daven Shachris, and you did it after Alos, after dawn, but before sunrise, technically you fulfill your obligation. And then he writes the following: Yeshul v'spal tefilas arvis shaleli Shabbos be'erev Shabbos kodem shetishkachal. That if somebody wanted to, they could daven Mariv on Friday night early. Well, we do this in the summer months all the time. In the summer months, we accept Shabbos early and we daven Mariv like while it's still light outside. It's after Plag HaMincha. It's late in the afternoon, but it's not yet nightfall. It's way before nightfall. We're davening Mariv, which really is supposed to be davening at night. Says the Rambam that one can do that. V'chein, and so too, which this is something we almost never do. V'chein yispalo Arvish on Motzei Shabbos b'Shabbos. You can daven Mariv on Motzei Shabbos before nightfall as well. Technically speaking, Lefi, because tefillas arvus rishus, because we're more lenient with regard to the tefillah of Mariv, the whole concept of tefillas arvus being rishus, we're not going to get into right now, but basically is that it was never instituted by the rabbis as an obligatory tefillah. Later on, we took it upon ourselves as an obligation, but it was never established that way by the rabbis. Therefore, we can be more lenient about when we daven Mariv. So basically, the Rambam is saying that you can daven Mariv early. He, by the way, where did the Rambam get this from? He got it from, there's a Gemara on Daf Chaf Zayin that says that Rav used to bring in Shabbos early, used to daven Mariv early in the day, and Rabbi Yoshia used to daven Mariv for Motzei Shabbos early in the day when it was still Shabbos. Okay, this is the practices of Rav and Rabbi Yoshia. So the Rambam is citing it lahalacha. Okay.
So we have all this.
It's in the first part over there. Yeah, yeah, quotes from the Rambam.
Shabbos stays the same way.
Shabbos stays the same way. Yeah, Shabbos. Yeah, yeah. You don't end Shabbos early. Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying
no. Shabbos, God forbid. God forbid, Rav. Shabbos is amazing. Who would want to end Yom Kippur early? You get all those kaparas. Why would you want to end that early? Ubovad, however, the Rambam says, now this is the key line over here. He says, Ubovad, but one needs to make sure, Shiikr Kiyishma Bizmana, Achar Tzitzak Tavim, that you say Shema later. Meaning you could daven Marif early, but later, after the stars come out, after it's nightfall, that's when you're going to say the Shema. Now, whenever the Rambam already says earlier, and the Mishneh Torah in the second chapter of Hilchos Kriya Shema, that whenever there's an obligation to say the Shema, it's saying it with its blessings, with its brachos. It's saying Kriya Shema with its brachos. So when the Rambam says over here that you're going to later in the night say Kriya Shema, when you're davening Marv early in the day, you have to make sure you say Kriya Shema later, he means with the brachos. So the Ravid on the spot.
And after.
What?
The before and after brachos?
That's what it sounds like. Hold on. Gavin's already, he sounds like you're about to ask the rabbit's question.
That's the right.
Yeah. What exactly did the Rambam mean? Okay, very good. Right? So Scott's asking, what do you mean? Didn't you say Shema and its blessings earlier? Now you're saying it again. So what's going on? So the rabbit over here already asked a different question. He says, I don't understand. You're going to say Shema later with its brachos. Isn't that an issue of you're missing being so much cool with tefillah? Meaning right now, when you're davening Marv, the way the Ravid's understanding the Rambam is that you're not saying Shema right now with its brachos. And if that's the case, you're missing the blessing of Goal Yisrael, which means that if you're just davening Shmon Esrei, your Marv Shmon Esrei, without the blessing of Goal Yisrael, you've missed out on being so mech gula tefillah. So the Ravid asks, he says,
wait, that applies to Mariv as well as Shabbos.
We Paskin, it does apply as well. Yeah. The Ravid asks, he says, because of Ravid, he says, Hashkiveinu, the Gemara already deals with it right over here. The Gemara deals with it that it says, Hashkiveinu is Kegul Gul Arifthadamian. Where is that Gemara? That's the language the Gemara uses, is that it says it's Kigula Arichta Damya. It's like an extended blessing of Gaul Yisrael. Right. But again, all of those were instituted. Where is it? It's where it brings up also how we say Hashem Sfasai Tifta. Here. Kivan de Tiknu Rabbanan Hashkivenu. Since the rabbis instituted that we say Hashkivenu, it's Kigula Arichta Damya. It's Dalanam Abiz. So that same thing with Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen, all that was instituted by the rabbis. Whenever it was instituted to there, that's an extension of tefillah. So that's the same thing applies for Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. It was an extension of tefillah. So you don't lose out. Which one?
It's an extension of tefillah or gula?
Which one?
Anything that's before Hashem Sfasai Tiftach.
No, depends. By Mariv, that would be an extension of tefillah. That additional, the addition. Hashkivenu is an extension of Gula. It was instituted that way. But Baruch Hashem Leolam Amen V'Amen was instituted as a synopsis of tefillah, not a synopsis of geula. Hashkivenu is a continuation of.
But then, when you stand in a different way, like that, you're standing and
no, not necessarily.
You don't stand doing the same position as tefillah.
Not necessarily. No, no. Okay. The Ravid's question, though, but
another question.
Yeah.
This is off the point.
Okay.
Noticed,
you passed me one of those now. Yeah.
In Israel, they don't say after Hashkivenu.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't. You only notice that now? Yeah.
Why is that? Or why do we ask?
So,
that? I mean, which I don't even know which is the original and which is the
yeah, it just it's a minhag that just never took in Israel. Yeah, the minhag that never took in Israel. The minhag was established because of latecomers that would go out to the fields for Maariv, which is at night. In order that they're not left alone, we made davening longer.
That's not considered a half second between geula and tefillah.
No, again, because the rationale is always that if it's rabban and tiknua, it's geula richta davening.
Okay.
So it's not going to be a half second. But bottom line, the Ravid's asking back to the Rambam, where the Rambam said that you're going to daven maariv now. When it's still early in the day, it's in the afternoon. You're going to daven maariv after plaga mincha. It's not nightfall yet. The Rambam says it's fine, but you're going to say shema later. What happened to the obligation of being somech geula tefillah? That's the Ravid's question over here. Okay, that's the Ravid's question, which basically would mean. So, what would the Ravid tell you to do? What the Ravid would tell you to do, and what presumably Rav did is what the Ravid is saying. What Rav Oshia did was that they davened everything earlier, meaning when they davened earlier, they were somech geula l'tefillah. They said Shema with all of its brachos earlier in the day, and they made that connection between the blessing of Gaul Yisrael and the tefillah that was going to be taking place. That's what the Ravid would say. That's must be what they did. The Rambam doesn't sound that way. The Rambam sounds like he's saying that they're going to be skipping Shema and its blessings when they say it earlier, and they're going to be saying it later. So according to the Rambam, he didn't say repeat. He didn't say repeat.
He said,
you can daven maariv now as long as you're going to say Shema later.
With his blessing.
Yeah. That's not repeat.
So what does maariv mean if it doesn't include Shema and its blessings?
The Shmoneh Esrei.
So you would just say Shmoneh
Esrei. That's what it's that's what the Rambam sounds like. That's what the Rambam sounds like. Now, I'll tell you who makes this ha'ara in the Rambam. This must be what the Ravid understood in the Rambam, and really what the Rambam sounds like is the Lecha Mishnah says that. The Lecha Mishnah learns the Rambam the way we just presented it, is that you're not saying your blessings, you're not saying Kriyat Shema with its blessings now in the late afternoon. You're just saying Shmoneh Esrei. This is not how we paskin. That's not what we do, right? When we're davening at shul in the summer months, we make Shabbos early. We're saying everything, right? We're doing everything. This is not what we do. But the Rambam seems to be presenting that when you're gonna daven maariv early, it means davening Shmoneh Esrei early, and then later after Tzitzis Chavim, you're gonna say Shema with its blessings. Aren't you missing out on this obligation of being somech? Somech geula tefillah. Now, we should point out there is a Tosfos right at the beginning of the Masechta. I think it's the second Tosfos in the Masechta, the very first Tosfos in the Masechta. The very first Tosfos in the Masechta quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that also repeats itself later. On Chaf Zion as well, this opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. It comes up a couple of places in the Masechta that what we learn from the practice of Rav and Rav Yoshia that you can daven maariv earlier, that meant that maariv does not need to be said at nightfall, after nightfall. Meaning to say that Rabbeinu Tam's approach is very different than the Rambam and even the Ravid, where he's saying that it's like you can L'chatchila, like the time to daven maariv is starting from plaga mincha, like starting from that time late in the afternoon. That is the time for maariv. So that means according to Rabbeinu Tam, you do accomplish being so mekula tefillah, because that's, you're just davening marv in the normal way. You're just doing it early in the afternoon. So that's the Ravid's approach. That's the Ravid's approach. The Rabbeinu Tam also is saying, like, you, that's the time for marv. What do you mean? You're just going to daven a regular marv at that point when it's the late afternoon.
Even though the first mission in the Gemara specifically says that you should have seishma after.
Yeah. So Rabbeinu Tam deals with all that. Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. That is why it's the first. That's why it comes up over there. Yeah. Exactly. So what are we going to do for? What are we going to do to understand the Rambam? What are we going to do to understand the Rambam? Well, one other point I also wanted to mention that the Stipler brings up is that the Rambam, when he presents this, and he says that you can daven marav early, right? But you're going to say Kriya Shma later, right? He's not presenting it as a bidyevin. He's not presenting it as like, oh, it's not the best thing to do, but you could if you want to. He says, Yeshlo l'hispal tefilas arvis leili Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. One has the right. They're totally 100% reasonable for somebody to want to daven marv early. You'll daven Shmona Esrei now, and later you'll daven. Later you'll say Shema with its blessings. There's a Tosos on Chaf Zayin that says that. That Rav and Rav Oshia, this practice that they had, they only did it when it was the Tzarech Mitzvah, when they had to. Like Rav would only daven Marv on a early afternoon in order so that he can bring in Shabbos early, right? In order so that he can fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefa Shabbos, he wanted to daven Marv earlier. Rav Yoshia only made his point when. Let's say, like in an example, the Gemara has about someone who wants to be mashech ala tchum, that they need to prepare their loved one's burial, so they'll on Shabbos afternoon they'll daven marv early and then start walking to the edge of the city in order so that the second that Shabbos ends they're already there ready to do what they need to do, like. It's only under specific circumstances that one is allowed to do this. That's what Tosfos later presents, that only if it's like a necessity are you allowed to do this. The Rambam is not presenting it that way. The Rambam is presenting it that you can daven Shmoneh Esrei early, and then later you'll say Shema with the blessings after nightfall. So what's going on over here? So basically what we just presented is that we have really like three or four different approaches in the Rishonim as to how you deal with Rav's practice of davening marv earlier in the day, of davening marv in the late afternoon, as opposed to waiting till nightfall, where the Rabbeinu Tam says that that's because Rav understood that the time to start saying to daven marv is from after Plaga Mincha, so you just treat it like a normal marv. The Ravid is saying that. That's what he did, but it's bidyeved. It's not the right thing to do. But yes, you would daven a regular marv earlier in the day, and you would daven with the blessings, the Shema, and but then the Shmoneh Esrei. You have the approach of Tosfos on Daf Chaf Zayin, which seems to say following the same pattern, but he says that you only would do so if it's the Tzarech Mitzvah, so very similar to the Ravid. But then you have this opinion of the Rambam, which is just coming out of left field, where you're going to daven Shmoneh Esrei in the late afternoon, and then later you're going to say Shema with his blessings, and you're missing out on this concept of being Somech Gul Tfilah, connecting the blessing of Gal Yisrael to your Shmoneh Esrei. So what's going on over here? So take a look at the Stipler.
Does the Gemara explicitly say that it's Gomarib as well?
The Gemara has two opinions about it, but we paskin that it does apply.
So
we paskin Rabbi Yochanan.
Rambam doesn't hold it.
No, not a chance at all.
Okay.
Yeah, the Rambam says it explicitly. He writes it right over here. Ubitfilas ha'erev kora kriya shma mevarech. This is Perek Zayin halacha Yud Ches in the Rambam. Excuse me, by Marev, you say shma mevarech lefanel acharei. You make the blessings of the kriya shma before and after. V'somech gula l'tfila. And you were so mechgul tefila, mespalo meumad, you daven standing up. Meaning, yeah, Rambam is saying the obligation of being so mechgul tefila applies equally to Marv as it does by Shachris. Rambam writes it explicitly.
Dismiss the Rambam's understanding.
I'm passing the tissues over there. What?
We can't dismiss the Rambam's understanding of what Rambam meant based on that other Rambam.
Ah, very good. Very good, Gavin. So. The Lecha Mishnah suggests that. The Lecha Mishnah suggests that perhaps the Rambam, you have to read the Rambam that we just said in the seventh chapter of the laws of Tefillah, where he says that the obligation of being Somer Gula Tefillah applies equally to Marv and as it does by Shacharis. So you have to say Shema with its blessings leading into Tefillah. There can't be that break between the blessing of Gol Yisrael and Tefillah. He seems to just. So then the one over here, where the Rambam is saying over here, just becomes very, very difficult to read what he's talking about then. Because why would he say that the way he writes it, he says that you're going to daven marv early, and then he says, ubavach yikra kriya shma bizmana achar tzitzuchavim, but you're going to really say shma later. It's very, very difficult to read that way. The Lecha Mishnah doesn't think that that's the case. He doesn't think that he suggests it, but he doesn't like the answer. Yeah, he doesn't like the answer. So let's see the Stipler's answer. The Stipler says like this, and this is going to be very fundamental into our understanding of this entire concept of being somek gula tefillin. So take a look. It's on the first page. It's double sided, so it's on the front page of the Kilas Yaakov of the Stipler. Zatzal Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, father of Chaim Kanievsky, passed away in 1985. Was the one of the trailblazers of Torah in Bnei Brak. Happens to be my favorite author. The Stipler, he writes as follows. So it's on the take a look at the top of the second column on the left side of the page. Top of the second column, he says Venira. It says Venira Lanias Daiti. It appears to me this follows. The Yesh Lomer, you could say like this, Badas HaRambam Zal, that this is what the Rambam, this is how we could rationalize the Rambam. The Din Zed, the Smicha Sgula Tfila, this obligation of making this connection between the blessing of Gol Yisrael and the Tfila, Ein O Ela Bezman Shishneim Ramyan Alav. It only is when you have both an obligation of saying the blessing of Gol Yisrael and the obligation of tefillah at the same time. When there's an obligation to say both Shema with its blessings and to say the Shemoneh Esrei, that's when this obligation of being somech to connect the blessing of Gol Yisrael to tefillah applies. The whole concept of somech gula tefillah only applies when you're obligated in both. The Asher Chai beBirchas Geula uBetefillah. You're obligated in the blessing of Gol Yisrael and in tefillah, therefore you need to connect them. Mitzvah v'agonu shi'is magul tefillah. Aval, however, line number 5, towards the end. Aval, however, kishim mispalo bizman, line number 6, that when you're davening at a time, the leika alav chiyuv birchas geula, that there's no obligation to say the blessing of Gol Yisrael. If you're davening at such a time, like when would that be? Earlier in the day. Very good, Scott. Earlier in the day. So then, so then there can't possibly be, conceptually, there can't possibly be an obligation of somech gula tefillah. How could you possibly say there's an obligation to be somech gula tefillah, to connect the blessing of Gol Yisrael with tefillah, if there is no obligation right now to say the blessing of Gol Yisrael? So basically what the Rambam is what the Stipler is understanding in the Rambam is that the Rambam is telling us that the obligation of being somech gula tefillah is isolated and exclusive from the obligation of davening Shema and the obligation of saying Kriya Shema. That there's an obligation of saying Kriya Shema and there's an obligation of tefillah. And those are two separate obligations. Kriya Shema has its blessings, and included in those blessings is the blessing of Gaul Yisrael. Now, if you're going to be saying both at a time when you're obligated to say both, like at nightfall, so then there's this new obligation that kicks in called being Somech Geula L'Tefillah, to connect the two blessings of Gaul Yisrael and the Shmona Esrei. But if you're going to be saying one of them at a time, that you can say that, like davening Marav early, you could say the Shmona Esrei early, and there is no obligation to say Gaul Yisrael yet. Why? Because the obligation of saying the Shema hasn't kicked in yet. So then if that's the case, so then the whole concept of Somech Geula L'Tefillah can't even get off the ground. It won't even apply. You would just say the Shmona Esrei, right? Early. And then later you'll say the Shema with its blessings. Yeah. You just leave it out. That's the route. That is what the Rambam presented.
So then you would say the Shema and then you would end with
Yeah. And that's it. And it just, there's no Somech Geula L'Tefillah in that scenario. Because you already said Shmona Esrei earlier. Now, again, that's not what we do practically. But I bring out this Rambam because this really does speak volumes of the way we look at the concept of being Somech Geula L'Tefillah. Now, what is the Ravid going to respond? Meaning the Ravid and really all, it sounds like the rest of the Rishonim, how are they going to respond about how they view the concept of being Somech Geula L'Tefillah? It sounds like, from their perspective, no, when I have an obligation of tefillah, I better precede that tefillah with the blessing of Gaul Yisrael. That's what the rabbi would respond, which is why, if you're going to daven early in the day, you're going to say it. You're going to say Shema with its blessings, with Gaul Yisrael, and lead into Shmon Esrei, because if I'm saying Shmon Esrei and if I'm davening Marav right now, that better have a prologue of the blessing of Gaul Yisrael, because without it, you're missing out on this obligation of being Somech Geula L'Tefillah. So now the stipler takes it a step further, and the stipler says that another implication of this machlokas is how they each understood Rav and Rav Yoshia's practices. Meaning when Rav and Rav Yoshia davened the Marav earlier in the day, when Rav did that, what the Rambam is saying, what Rav was doing was just saying Shmona Esrei. And that he was saying Shema with its blessings later. That's not the way most people read the Gemara. But the way the Rambam read the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Rav Tzali Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, Rav Davin, his Shabbos Shmona Esrei on Friday afternoon, it meant just the Amida, it meant just the Tefillah, and that later he said Shema with its blessings. It's not the conventional way of reading the Gemara, but that's what you have to say the Rambam read the Gemara as, based on what the Rambam's presenting here, that the whole concept of being Somech Geula L'Tefillah just doesn't apply if there is no obligation of the blessing of Gaul Yisrael right now, because the obligation of Kriya Shema is going to be later. Now, the stipler says, really, these two approaches of the, do you see Nadav? Is Nadav here? Where'd he go? Hold on, where is he?
Are you on the Zoom?
Yeah, well, no, he just told me he got here. I just don't want him to leave. We're supposed to learn.
I saw a car come in, but I didn't think he was driving.
So, since
he's not 60.
So the stipler then takes it a step further, and he says, really, these two approaches of the Rambam and Ravid, how they learned the Gemara about Rav and Rav Yoshia, about being Somech Geula L'Tefillah, and how that applied to Halacha, about the Rambam saying that you're going to only say Shmona Esrei earlier, and then Shema you'll say later, because there is no obligation of being Soma Kula Tefila if there is no obligation of Goal Yisrael right now. The Stipler says, really, they're speaking to the fundamentals of how you understand the entire concept of being Soma Kula Tefila. What's the purpose of it? Why is it that we are so that there's this obligation of being Soma Kula Tefila? The Stipler says, there's really, you could look at it as two approaches. Is it that in order for me to, Shalom Tzad, we're finishing up the shir, and then we're gonna learn. Get the Gemara's ready.
The exact one.
Okay, grab a bowl of Shon. Grab a bowl of Shon.
Actually, you can use the pus.
So there's really two ways you can look at this obligation of connecting the blessing of Gaul, Yisrael, and Tefillah. Is it in order so that I truly recognize, like in order for me to confirm my belief that God is the Gaul Yisrael, I'm going to immediately go from that declaration of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Baruch Olam Gaul Yisrael straight into that. In order for me to double down on this belief, on this confirmation that I have that God is the Gaul Yisrael, I'm going straight into my Shmona Esrei. Or is it that in order for my Shmona Esrei to be uplifted and be of a higher quality, I need to recognize that Hashem is the Gaul Yisrael. That when I recognize Hashem as the Gaul Yisrael, as the Redeemer, so then my tefillah is going to be uplifted. So is it for the purpose of tefillah that I have to connect it to the blessing of Gaul Yisrael? Or is it for the purpose of my belief as God is the Gaul Yisrael that I need to go from the blessing of Gaul Yisrael straight into davening? Is it for Gaul Yisrael or is it for the tefillah? That's what the Stipler says. That's what these two approaches of the Rambam and Ravid are based on. That
then, by not linking Gaul Yisrael to your Mara when you bring it early, you have
So now how are we gonna plug it in? How are we gonna plug it in? You say like this, the Stipler writes. He says you could plug it in like this. He says. Take a look at the bottom of that column on the first page, the very, very end of that column. He says, Ladas HaRavid. Ladas HaRavid Zal, that according to the Ravid, Vishar Poskim, and all the other Poskim mentioned, right, all the two of Itosis and Masechta, on the back page, top right corner. Pashit, the sphere of the shiny tefillas HaMincha. By the way, just to mention, the Stipler says that what's a proof for the Rambam that you don't actually need the blessing of Gaul Yisrael for the sake of tefillah? Mincha, Musaf, Ne'ilah. Plenty of times we say Shmona Esrei.
Put a line, an extra line in on this preamble.
Yeah, but that's not the Gaul Yisrael. No. 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 So if you're not. By mincha, musaf, ne'ilah, you're not saying Gaul Yisrael. You're davening perfectly fine. So you see that it's not necessary. What?
It's not about Gaul Yisrael, it's part of Shema.
That's part of what he's saying, is that only this concept of Gaul Yisrael, of Somei Kula Tefila, only kicks in when there's an obligation to say the blessing of Gaul Yisrael. But when there isn't.
That's only attached to Shema.
Right. Exactly. It's only attached to Shema. So now he says, Shaker's mana ain't a bashashi is chi of breath skula. Avaba he the Rav, when it came to Rav, she is palaba makom tfilas arvis, that he was davening marv at that time. Iker chiyuva hu bizman she ish gamkin din birchas kula vishayach bud din smirchas kula tfila. Then the Rav says, okay, then the concept of somekula tfila will kick in. And then, however, avaladas harambam. Next underline of Aladasa Rambam Zal, Yishlomer Shapir Kamasha Kasabnu. But according to the Rambam, that's not the case. He says that Lo Namar did smichas gula tefila ella kishahu bizman shechai b'shneim. It's only when you're obligated in both of them. And then take a look at the top left corner. He says, the Iker di inyan smichas gula tefila, that that here they're speaking to two fundamental ideas of how you look at the concept of connecting the blessing of Goy Yisrael and Tefillah. Yishla'ayin, im zeo tzarech ha-tefillah, if it's for the purpose of Tefillah, sha-tefillah mekubeles kishi ba miyad acher geula, that the Tefillah is more accepted when it comes right after me having declared God as the Goy Yisrael. Oh, the name is it tzarech ha-bracha geula, or so that the blessing of Goy Yisrael is amplified by the fact that I led straight into my Shmona Esrei. So if you take these two approaches, the Stipler is saying basically what the Ravid is saying is that the obligation of being Somaklu Tefillah is in order to uplift the Tefillah, which is why every time that there's a Tefillah, I need to make sure that the preamble to that is Goal Yisrael, which is why when Rav davened early in the day, he said Kriya Shema with its blessings in order so that he could be Somet Gula Litfila, because the Tfila will be lacking if it's not preceded with this blessing of Goal Yisrael. However, the Rambam is assuming not that way. The Rambam is assuming that the obligation of being Somet Gula Tfila is in order so that I can truly appreciate the fact that God is the Goal Yisrael. I'm going to double down on that by going straight into my Shmona Esrei. But if there is no obligation to say Goal Yisrael, so then I have nothing to double down on, and then I'm just going to say Shmona Esrei by itself, and later I'll say Shema with its blessings.
The problem I have with Raman is that the whole, going back to the beginning, why they allowed, for one of the reasons they allowed the Maariv to be said early was because the day laborers, once out on the field, might come home, eat, fall asleep, and forget the daven. So you could easily say that, okay, if you leave out the Shema, you could easily come home, have your Shabbos meal, and go to sleep and forget your Shema.
Yeah.
Except, right?
I don't think they did it early, so they
right
made the meal.
I think it was an objective.
You have to say Shema before you eat your meal, so you don't forsake
the rest of this. Yeah. You eat, you go to bed.
Right, but I think that because we're also working with objective zmanim, where the ability to daven marv early is based off the fact that Rav saw the day ending by plaga mincha, and that marv then starts from plaga mincha.
Right.
Yeah.
You could easily forget.
Right, so you need to make sure you don't.
You know how to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
It's kind of useless to him then.
Why?
Because he said what? He said Shmona. So he has to still go home and say Shema before we can have Kiddush.
Uh-huh.
So what's the value of saying?
No, so you'd bring him because he wanted to bring in Shabbos early.
But you still have to say Shema before you can have Kiddush? Because you have to say Shema before you eat, otherwise you'll forget.
It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
So you make early Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's
a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. What were you going to say, Jim?
Nobody does.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that saying Kaddish after Gali, so
again, if it's Kirabon and Tiknua, so then.
But Kaddish is there specifically, as I have said, to separate sections. I mean, that's what Kaddish always does, it separates different sections of Tefillah.
Again,
it looks like for sure it, that's a website.
So
I mean, clearly it's not. I'm just saying,
right? It looks that way, but that's yeah, I have to look up this tshuva of the Rashba as a comment. Okay, we'll have to investigate it further. I just wanted to point out one Rashi that the Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi that gives a mashal to understand the concept of being Somet Gula Tefillah a little better, where he says that the reason why it's so important to be Somet Gula Tefillah, he says that he quotes from the Yerushalmi that it'd be like somebody coming to knock on the king's door to ask for whatever they wanted to ask for, and the king comes to open the door and the person's not there anymore. They don't see anybody there, so he doesn't see anybody there, so he's going to leave. He says that's what would happen if somebody said Goal Yisrael is like knocking on the king's door, and then you leave before you start davening. So the king opens the door. He doesn't see anybody. So he leaves. And then you show up a little bit later, and the king's gone at that point. So that's why you need to say Gol Yisrael immediately leading into tefillah. Says the stipler. He says that how you understand that mashal of the Yerushalmi, how you explain that mashal of the Yerushalmi may be dependent on these two approaches of Gol Yisrael, right? Is it that when you go and knock on the door, in order so that the king is going to be receptive to the things you're going to say, you need to be ready with what you have to say right away? Or is it that the whole reason I'm even going in the first place to knock is because I have what to say, and that's why I'm knocking on the door? Meaning that these two approaches of how you view the concept of being somek lo tefillah, is it for the purpose of the recognition of God as the Redeemer, or is it that my shmona esrei is uplifted? Really could be read into that mashal from Yerushalmi. We'll just conclude with a piece of Agadah, a lesson to be learned from Masechta Brachos in Musar, that the Gemara has on Daf Tes a story about Rabbi Bruna. They're about also related to being somef bulo l'tfila. The Gemara has about Rabbi Bruna, I believe it's Daf Tes on the base, if I'm not mistaken, that the Gemara says that. It tells a story of right here. Amalei Rabbi Leula. Rabbi Leula says to Ula, Ki alisa lahasam, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Shala b'shalmei di Rabbi Bruna achi, go check on my brother Rabbi Bruna. Mamed kol chabura. He's the one. He's the head of the entire chabura. The adam gadol. Why should you go check on him? Go visit him because he's a gadol. How do you know he's such a gadol? I know he's so great. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Bruna had a lot of simcha when he fulfilled mitzvahs. How do you know? Because zimna chada, because one time he was samach gula tefillah. He connected the blessing of Gol Yisrael to tefillah. And his smile never left his face the entire day, which is just incredible to consider. Something we do twice a day. When Rabbi Bruna did it, he smiled the whole day, right? But it's really hard to mess it up. It's really hard to mess it up.
There must be something we're missing that we don't smile the whole day from just doing that.
Yeah. What are we missing?
He timed us right at the point the sun broke.
Is that
there
true?
Something in there that the guy smiled the whole day. Right? It went really well from the whole day.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see it. But I once saw that Rav Ruderman comments in this Gemara. He says that Rabbi Bruna was considered an Adam Gadol because he understood the value of every single mitzvah, every single opportunity of connection to Hashem. Right? Something simple like being somech lulat tefila. Right? We gave a whole shiur about how to understand that concept. But in halacha, it's a quick, short, small, what we would assume to be relatively unimportant thing in the general scale of how we treat mitzvos. But Rabbi Bruna was so excited about this small little thing that lo pasach yucha mepume kol yom akula, that his smile never left his face the whole day. Because gedolim understand the value of every single moment of connectivity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single opportunity to do a mitzvah, even if it's a relatively small mitzvah, is something of significance. He points out that this really is the mark of a, right over here, Tessam and Beis. It's like towards the, like, bottom quarter of the almond. He gave he said was Rabbi Akiva. Now this is something much bigger, but Rabbi Akiva, when he was taken to be killed by the Romans, it says that it was the time of Kriya Shema, the time that they took Rabbi Akiva, and when they were mamish raking his body with iron rakes, Rabbi Akiva started saying the Shema. So the Talmidim asked him, like Ad Kam, like to that point you have to do this? Like, come on, it's like a little much. And Rabbi Akiva responded, and he said, Kol yamai ha'isi mitztayer al pasuk zeh, that my entire life I was nervous I would not be able to fulfill what it says in the Torah, to serve Hashem with all your soul, even at the time that they're removing your soul. I need to make sure that I am committing myself to Hashem. What's the language that Rabbi Akiva used? He said, "Mitzar Hayisi." I was nervous. I was nervous my whole life. I was anxious whether or not I'd be able to fulfill a mitzvah that I guarantee you nobody ever wants to fulfill, of dying al Kiddush Hashem. But Rabbi Akiva was concerned he never would be able to do that mitzvah, because he saw that was a certain type of mitzvah that I'm just never going to have the opportunity to fulfill. Okay, I'm not necessarily looking to be killed, but it's too bad I'm never going to be able to do that mitzvah. Right? Like it's an incredible perspective. So this is a mussar for all of us. We need to how many mitzvos we should ask ourselves, how many mitzvos we get to do on a daily basis, even if just one or two of them a day, we stopped and considered just how significant what I just did was. It could be we could rise ourselves to the point of being a gadol like Rabbi Bruna. All right,
in the morning that we can smile the whole day.
And that's right.
You do it before bed. You're kind of wasted.
You go to sleep with a smile on your face. All right. We'll stop here for now. All right. Shkoch, everybody.
Thanks.